Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change in our second hour of our show. Remember, we are live for both the remaining segments, so anyone interested in calling in at 751-1041 or toll-free 877-544-2580. I'd like special welcome here in the studio, in fact, to Jim Wells, who is chairman and mentor for the SCORE organization. Jim, welcome to the show.
Morning, Zara. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you. Well, for those of you who may not be familiar with SCORE, it is a nationally based organization that's known as Counselors to America's Small Business. There's a network of consultants who are pro bono roles. They roll up their sleeves to help small business succeed. Jim is a native of Washington, D.C. area, and he spent 30 years in retail merchandising and marketing with the Woodward and Lothrop, John Wanamaker department stores, operating stores from New York to Northern Virginia. His functional expertise spans quite the list: merchandising, marketing, advertising, public relations, visual presentation for a wide range of products as well, those for the home to specialty markets such as cosmetics, accessories, jewelry, and shoes. In his eventual role of executive VP, Jim was responsible for the profitable operation of 45 large-scale department stores. When that corporation was sold in 1995, Jim moved to startups in the Gulf retail area, the healthcare industry, internet marketing, and wireless GPS before returning to retail and finishing a career as a regional VP for Lord & Taylor with stores in Philadelphia, Chicago, and Detroit. Jim said he fully retired in 2004, although I will question that, and because then 2 years later, he assumed the role of a trailing spouse when his wife's mail order firm in Connecticut was sold and relocated to Tucson. Jim is now very much enjoying a rich Act Two. In addition to his time with SCORE, he's involved in the First Tee of Tucson and squeezing in time for golf of his own. The Wells' four children and six grandsons live on the East Coast in Annapolis, Maryland, between Annapolis and Poughkeepsie, New York. Well, I have to start, before we start with SCORE, what is First Tee?
Oh, the First Tee. It's one of my real pleasures. First Tee is an organization that teaches young children the values and attributes of life that you can gain through the game of golf. We work with courtesy and honesty, working with perseverance, sportsmanship, and so forth, and using the game of golf to teach that. And it's a great transition as
well,
it goes.
And if I was going to go to that as an adult, it would teach me perseverance, tolerance for failure, complete frustration,
etc. It's not an easy game.
Yes, indeed. But you've got a rosy smile on your face. It does get you outside. Jim, our topic today, SCORE. Tell us about that organization from a national standpoint, and then we'll narrow down on specifically here in Tucson.
SCORE is an organization that's been in service since 1964. It's a division of the Small Business Administration. We're totally government-funded. Across the country, there's 385 chapters in almost every major city, of course. That comprises over 12,000 volunteers.
Wow.
And last year, that computed to 1 million hours worth of free consulting to America's small businesses. There's 1,400 counselors that do e-counseling, which is made available some counseling from SCORE to those that can't get to a major office, maybe live in secondary markets, et cetera.
So that's virtual counseling through the internet, you're saying,
yep.
On the phone? Okay.
Yeah, they just send us their initial questions. We sign up for it, and we develop an email marketing dialogue, I guess, to talk about how we can help them with their businesses.
Great. So these chapters then, how long has the group been together here then in Tucson?
Tucson started in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. We've been through several transitions and growing. One of the problems with a retirement, kind of organization is the fact that, you know, you're in constant need of refurbishing and you're in constant need of re-engineering and re-energizing the organization. So we're always looking for new volunteers. And as some of the guys kind of fade into the sunset, so to speak, the new ones bring on, and they bring a lot of new ideas and new means to operate the volunteer organization.
And so how many volunteers do you have here in Tucson now?
Right now we're running about 35 volunteers. We have four locations in Tucson, all the way from Green Valley. We counsel at Oral Valley Library on the east side at Grand and Swan, and our main office is over just west of the freeway between Congress and St. Mary's. So there's four locations. The one, our main office is open every single day, and the other ones have certain hours. We like for people to call so we can talk to them a little bit about what their needs are, so we make sure we can get them in, number one, the right location, but number two, with the right counselor to address their issues.
How is it you personally got connected with SCAR?
You know, this is kind of hard to believe, but I think in 1968, I'd started my retail career, and I heard about SCAR. It was brand new, and I was in Washington, D.C., so a lot of the government information was always readily available. I heard about SCAR, and I thought, boy, if I ever retire, that's what I want to do. Because to me, nothing like a startup. It's you get started, you have a new challenge, you have all new ways to look at things. All of your problems have become yours. So it's a great way, I think, to spend some time, is to help businesses both get started, and then what we want to do at SCAR down the road is to work more and more within businesses. So we can really try and develop their, address some of their issues, bring them into new procedures and so forth.
So your involvement with the SCAR, did it officially start then actually after you had retired then, or did you touch in beforehand?
Well, I retired in Connecticut, I guess, before my wife's business was sold, and I was working on remodeling an old farmhouse there. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, we moved to Tucson. Then we remodeled a home here, and then once that was over, I came and got involved in SCAR. So I've only been in Tucson about 3.5 years, but I quickly wanted to get involved in SCAR, and it worked out very well.
Well, it's interesting, though, how you said this was a seed that got planted in 1968. So here you are, almost 40 years later saying, oh, yeah, that was there.
Yeah.
And that would be my message or potential for people to listen about, is that you can never underestimate some of those seeds that get sown, and also probably appreciate there's a germination period for it, right? I mean, the skills and expertise you can now bring as a mentor for small businesses, as well as, I suspect, for your other consultants that are on the team.
Right. And I think one of the great advantages of SCAR is the fact the great diversity that we have among the counselors. And
tell us about that.
Yeah, there's 35 or so, and we have just many, many great people. Most of them have, we're very lucky because Tucson's a super place to retire. So a lot of people that can't afford it come on out to Tucson and start a second life. But we have a couple people that used to be bank presidents. We have two lawyers, one of which specializes in human resource kind of issues. We've had several people involved in international sales, a couple people involved in government contracts. We've just recently joining us a Harvard MBA that ran a manufacturing firm on the East Coast, and he and his wife have just moved to the Tucson area. So, and then we have one gentleman who's a marketing expert, to the point that he's still teaching in colleges and using that expertise to help our clients. So, and then my retail background, there's a couple retailers in the group. We have a couple food operators. So it's a great diverse group with an awful lot of experience. And one of the things we try and do is to, as I say, put the client with the proper consultant or mentor, but then also we can move the clients amongst the mentors to address specific issues.
So is your work with your clients then just one-on-one, or are there group dynamic opportunities?
We have a couple different ways we go there. Generally speaking, most of it is one-to-one. In some cases, when we're available, then we'll pull two counselors in together and perhaps both of us work with one client.
Could you share with us a success story? What would a typical session look like? So for those of our listeners who are thinking, here's a new resource I haven't thought to call.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that we do is offer a whole series of seminars. So it might be good for somebody to start with a seminar. A seminar is a five-step stage. The first step is just basically, am I really meant to start a business? And do I have the right personality? Is it for me? And if that's the case, we talk about what kind of structure to set up, whether it's going to be a sole proprietorship or a limited liability company. So we go through all the technical details of starting up a business, but we encourage the person to ask if they're right. So from there, a person then could probably make an appointment with a SCAR counselor. Not that the seminar is required, but it kind of flows that way sometimes. After they get there, then they want to come and see us specifically with some issues. So we will talk about the specific issues dealing with their startup. what it's going to take, begin to get into a business plan, which is all important. There's three basic steps to the business plan. The first is the verbal part that goes on. The second is learning about the customers, the marketing aspects, identifying their target customers. And the third is the total financial package. So, you know, the flow is basically to decide you want to go into business, come and see us and let us help you through the process and knock down some walls perhaps earlier, get into a business plan, and then finally we begin to talk about marketing, talk about the specifics of a business. How do you set it up, ordering organizationally, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Very good. Again, I'm speaking with Jim Wells, who's the chairman and mentor for the Tucson chapter of SCORE. If anyone has a question, 751-1041. So is there any typical profile of the kind of people that approach you, certain types of businesses, industries, age, prior experience, etc.?
I would just say across the board, there's absolutely no prototype whatsoever.
No prototype.
I mean, we have a lot of kids coming in out of college that are looking, maybe they've gotten a great idea. We're very close with the Eller School at University of Arizona, and there's a lot of kids that have worked on major projects, mm-hmm. and they want to take it into a real business during that. So they'll come to us for those kinds of some advice. And it goes all the way up to people that have retired and felt very good about their retirement. And all of a sudden, after we've been through what we've been through in the last 2 to 3 years, they feel a need to get back into the business world. So it runs the full gamut. There's a lot of people that have, and I was listening earlier, of course, people that have been in a career or a job for 10, 15, 20 years and just feel like they need a change.
Right.
I have a client that I'm working with right now who, you know, had a great job here in Tucson, but he just had this calling and he was dying to do it. And he's still a young man, in mid-30s or so, but he just wanted to make a change. And he's doing it and he's just opening next week. So hopefully he'll do it very successfully.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, there are several resources here in Tucson to help people in this space. Of course, you mentioned the Small Business Association. Mm-hmm. So you've got that. You've got the Micro Business Advancement Center, MAC.
Right.
We've had Debbie Chandler here on the show,
uh-huh.
to talk about that particular niche that they serve for disadvantaged women in particular. Is there a place you all coalesce together, or you're not fighting for resources or attention or anything like that?
No. We share office space with
you
Debbie.
Do?
Yeah,
okay.
We're in the same office as Debbie, and also in that office now is what is called the SBDC, which is Small Business Developmental Center. And in many ways, they do the same thing that SCORE does, but they do it to a much deeper and a longer range level. They will take a client and stay with them for 2-3 years and really develop it. Most of their businesses are much bigger than ours. Ours are more, you know, could be home-based, et cetera. So we feel like all of us being there together, we don't feel like we're competitive. We feel like, you know, we're volunteers for the most part. So it's not like we have to be competitive.
Sure, exactly.
What we have to do is really service the client as best we can.
We've got a call from Tom on the line. Tom, welcome to Circles of Change.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. My question is this. The incubator program down on Rita Ranch, and now we're starting a high-tech hub over here, I think, on Oracle someplace next year. My question for you is this. Do you see any dedicated incubator program that might assist you folks, not compete with you? But I know you hear a lot about Tucson being anti-business, which it really is. Wouldn't that be a great start to maybe help bootstrap some small businesses rather than just kill them with all the regulations this town is famous for?
Thank you, Tom. Well, there's some opinion opportunity for you to weigh in on here as well,
well,
Jim, your experience
perspective. Without question, and Tucson has many, many opportunities in order to be a little bit more pro-business for sure. Our challenge is finding the resources, I guess, to put on something like that where we could oversee it and kind of steer it along, if you will. An incubator process would be good if, again, coming up with the resources and just being able to manage it. The biggest challenge that we overcome, quite frankly, is the technology chapter, because the people that are in it don't have a lot of free time to come and offer their services to our organization. So, you know, we can talk a lot about the basics that haven't changed too much, like retail and banking and so forth and so on. But as you get into the technology, which is changing every year and a half or so, it's very hard. So, you know, what we would love to do, of course, is to talk to some people that would be interested in working with us on setting up some technology feedbacks and some technology services for new companies that are starting here in Tucson. It'd be wonderful.
Tom, thank you very much for calling in. Jim, on that tack then, Are there opportunities for those of you in your SCORE chapter here in Tucson to reach out and take assistance from other SCORE chapters if they happen to have different business expertise?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a whole phone book of all the counselors and their skills and so forth. It's all available to us online, so we can go in and find a specific counselor. You were talking, I wanted to mention, I guess, that we're having the seminars, what we call the workshops, which is 1 through 5, which is how do you get in business, do a business plan, and the fifth one is getting the finances for that business.
Finances.
In addition to those, we run a whole series of seminars, and the seminars can be sort of ad hoc topics, and we're trying to cover as many topics as we can. We're getting into things like intellectual properties. We're having one coming up next week on email marketing. There's an expert coming down from Tucson, or from Phoenix, really, that's going to talk to us about really how to make the most out of email. We will take those seminars as far as we possibly can, which brings up the issue of, we're trying to do one on social media, for example, how to best use Twitter and Facebook. But we will also be taking those to as many new levels as we can. And if there is somebody out there that would love to use SCORE to have a seminar, we'd love to do it. That's basic on Tom's call about maybe getting some technology expertise within our ranks. That would be a great way to do it. So we're very open. We're very community-oriented from that point of view.
Great. Jim, as long as we're at a mid-show break here, how could people contact you? And we'll repeat it again.
Well, our main office is in 520, and the phone number is 670-5008. And the other way to get to us, I guess, is just go into scoretucson.org. Either one of those, we'd be able to get some responses.
That's great. In the time that you've now been involved with the Tucson chapter here, do the type of challenges and opportunities here, are they different than what other chapters around the country would talk about?
The one big thing that I find in Tucson, based on my life on the East Coast, is that we're missing the big local branded headquarters. With the exception of Raytheon and a couple more, everybody else is sort of a satellite. And I think that we miss the opportunity to do a lot of networking in town and to get people together. And that's one of the reasons why we want to strengthen our seminar program, to try and get people together for similar topics.
Just to transmit the knowledge, but provide a community opportunity for people to interact, whoever attends those seminars.
And that's
together.
Such an important part of today's trying to do business and networking. So, I think that's the one big difference here, is that we lack the headquarters. But
in terms of the learnings that you're imparting on, how to create a business plan or access to capital, that's pretty much generic.
They're all the same. And again, we're looking at a lot of home-based businesses or just single-person startups and so forth. So, the one thing about it is we're responsible for 3 counties here. And within those 3 counties, 2 to the south of us and currently in Tucson, but those counties consist of over 75,000 businesses.
Wow.
And that's how we really get rated, is how do we do compared to the number of businesses in our zone. So there's a lot of businesses, and the good news is, I guess, they're all small.
Well, what does small, define small to me?
Well, small is, according to the government, less than 15 employees.
Yes, okay.
As far as we're dealing with, it's probably a lot less than 6 employees for the most part. Most of the people we deal with are 2, 3, 4 employees. A few of them are slightly larger, but not very many.
Well, in fact, I recall we had Jack Camper from the Tucson Chamber of Commerce on once, and he even quoted the membership of the Tucson Chamber being preponderance of people with less than 25 employees.
No, that's absolutely true. It's a town of a lot of entrepreneurs.
Yes,
that's for
exactly.
Sure.
Which is the right spirit.
It's perfectly wonderful.
But I like Tom's question of the idea of the incubator concept, mm-hmm. of how you can provide a forum where other people can patch in and help one another.
Yep.
That's very compelling.
Yep.
Well, do you have any specific success stories you can talk to us about as someone that you've guided through a thorny issue?
Well, it was interesting. I came across a couple names when I was doing my research for this, I guess. And this is on a national basis, of course, but these are names that people kind of know, I guess. The Vermont Teddy Bear Company was a direct counselor, started their business with SCORE.
I love you saying that. I have bought 5 teddy bears from there, and we toured the factory countlessly up in Shelburne, Vermont.
And in the same breath, I guess, a Jelly Belly Candy Company started with
SCORE.
So there's a lot of businesses, I guess, that start with us. We've had a lot of good successes here on a much smaller scale, of course, and some unique ones. One of our counselors is an ex-advertising agency guy, took a couple young entrepreneurs, and they wanted to do a nonprofit theater business here in town, and so he got that set up. So
yeah, talk to us about that. Of course, we just had Laura and Aaron on the show about nonprofits, so this isn't just about
for-profit
organizations.
I would bet at least 15% to 20% of our clients come in with a nonprofit idea. And again, a lot of, because of their retirement, they've come here, they're looking for something extra to do. So there was a lady in a couple weeks ago, I guess, that, she liked making potpourri, and she wanted to try and make it and use it to give with some gift stores and so forth, and all of the money would be going to a charity. So she wanted to set up a nonprofit organization to do that. So it's from all scopes.
So I would think for any of our listeners, again, I'm speaking with Jim Wells, who's mentor and chairman for the Tucson branch of SCORE. One of the most formidable challenges is just becoming a 501c3. So you have expertise in guiding people through that.
We laughingly call one of our great counselors down there our nonprofit expert. He's for some reason kind of evolved into that, and he's been counseling for about 10 years, and he's received a lot of 501c3 conversations, I think, over his time. So he's very versed in all the rules and laws.
Well, that is really important. In fact, you find a number of organizations who are for-profit, but they have another calling in them, and it makes sense for them to establish a foundation so they can reach out and get grants to provide education for their field and so on. But the biggest hurdle is that whole aspect of being declared officially a nonprofit.
Right. And we've been very fortunate because there's a couple lawyers in town who've been giving of their time a little bit to help some of the nonprofits get through that paperwork process. But it's all good because you really have to know where you're going. You have to do that plan.
Yeah, there is. Well, let me shift real personally here for our last couple minutes, and that would be what have you found out that you've relied upon the most from your own past experience to be a sound counselor and a mentor today at SCORE?
Well, I guess the one trait I would say is I try to kill myself with communication. I always have over-communicated. I've learned that the biggest mistakes happen in an organization when the communication is not clear or not timely. So I've really worked very diligently, I think, to try and do that and be aware of it. So I think it helped the counselors that I work with. I was the chairman, as you say, and I think, we've made a lot of progress, and I think that it was mainly due to a lot of communication. By communicating, get a lot more people involved. You can sort of sell your ideas and sell your story a little bit better. I think, after communication, just the good management of people, understanding people are a resource and people have to be managed in order to really live up to their potential. And I don't mean managed like told what to do and so forth and so on, but managed in the terms of challenged, giving plenty of room to see how they can
training,
grow upon themselves and get the gratification of the growth that they enjoy.
Well, your engagement with SCORE, as you look upon your own self and reflection on your career, which often happens for people who make that final decision to step out in their Act 2 or retire, any ahas about your own background that you said, I never thought I'd rely upon that?
Well, I think the marketing experience that I had in my life was very, very valuable. I was the senior vice president of marketing for 6 years, and we did all the media in those days, but of course there are brand new medias today that we all have to be very turned into too. So the marketing is communication, and it's also management, and it's also just motivating.
The other thing I'd offer though is that it we're talking about the mechanisms of marketing now as it's changed, but the fundamentals, the gut level, tacit understanding, that's what you bring to the party.
Yeah, you have to
how
communicate.
How you use the tools, that's another thing.
Exactly.
But the idea of really knowing your PR, advertising, merchandising, and the distinctions between all those fields.
You have to know the market, and you have to know how to talk to them. But reaching them is the question, that's for sure.
Very good. Well, just to wrap up then, Jim Wells from the SCORE organization, can remind our listeners how to get a hold of you then?
The phone number's in Tucson, 520-670-5008, or at scoretucson.org.
.org. Very good. Jim Wells, thank you so much for joining us. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580. 544-2580.